morning. Thanks, Laurie. When was the last time you were amazed? I heard a radio advert asking that question. It turned out to be an advert for a cruise, I think. The idea is that you wake up somewhere new every morning and you see all these wonderful sights, stunning coastlines and magnificent mountains and so on. And perhaps you've been on holiday and you've seen some amazing sights recently. When was the last time you were amazed? Can I suggest that your answer could be right now, because we're going to open the Bible and we're going to hear the awesome God of the universe, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the God who created all the amazing sights that you see in the world around us, talking to us. He's got something to say to each one of us individually. Perhaps he's calling you to salvation, to become a member of his family. If you're already a Christian, perhaps he wants to encourage you or rebuke you or correct you. Perhaps he's got something to teach you that will help you to grow in holiness, to become more like Jesus. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? The God of the universe talking to us. Well, last week we started a series of sermons in the book of Proverbs. So if you would like to take your Bibles and turn to page 635. We looked at the first seven verses of chapter 1. They introduced us to the book. We saw that they promised wisdom and understanding and prudence and discretion and knowledge of how to do what is right and just and fair. We saw that some people think that education is the way to solve the problems of the world, but education on its own is never enough. It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You know it's going to end in disaster, don't you? Instead, we saw that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. And we spent some time thinking about what that means. Fearing God doesn't mean to cower before him in abject terror. But it does mean realizing who he is. He's a holy God. He's angry with the ungodliness and wickedness of fallen man. And it means realizing who we are. We're sinners. We deserve eternal punishment. But for a Christian, fearing the Lord means gazing with wonder and joy and gratitude at the cross, where our Savior died in our place. For a Christian, fearing the Lord means to submit to him in reverence and awe and full of wonder at his holiness and righteousness and supremely thankful to him for his grace and mercy. And that's where knowledge begins. That's what it told us last week in verse 7 of chapter 1. It's only as we acknowledge who we are and who God is that we can understand anything about the world. We must submit to God and his authority. We saw at the end last week that some people reject that teaching. In Bible language, they're fools. And that's nothing to do with intelligence or education or brain power. A fool in Proverbs refers to those who are morally deficient. It says that in your Bible in the footnote. It's a spiritual thing. Fools are people who despise the wisdom of God and his instruction. They don't fear the Lord. And we're going to come across them again today. We're going to continue in the book of Proverbs, reading the rest of chapter 1. And I put on the notice sheet, the title is Listen to the Right Voice. So as we read through this passage, just listen out for the different voices it mentions. So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 to 33. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We'll share all the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Education in ancient Israel was very different to modern education. It's essentially up to parents to educate their children. And the purpose of the education was to make sure that each new generation knew God and knew his laws and his covenant with his people. So if we look at verses 8 and 9 here, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. This is the writer encouraging his son to listen to the father's instruction. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. And parents will know that parenting is often a matter of carrot and stick. We'll see the stick later, but here we see the carrot, the rewards. There's a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. A garland would have been placed on a victorious general. A chain would have been placed around the neck of the king on the coronation. The readers of this in Old Testament times would have been sort of thinking that these were physical blessings that you gained. There were promised blessings to the Israelites if they kept God's law, and they promised curses if they turned their back on him. But for us as Christians, we know that blessings are not necessarily physical. Ultimately, the reward for us for living in the fear of the Lord and for submitting to him is eternal life. But it does begin here on earth, doesn't it? Eternal life. And for those children who embrace the fear of the Lord and listen to their parents' teaching, it will be a source of blessing to them and joy and celebration. So it's still true. These verses are true for us today as Christians. It's important for parents to raise children in the fear of the Lord and to instruct them in the gospel message. Don't leave it to the Sunday school teacher or the pastor. Certainly don't leave it to schools or TV or the internet and social media. And also don't leave it to each other. It mentions father and mother here, doesn't it? And don't just give them a list of do's and don'ts. Make sure you talk about the blessings, the joy and the wonder of salvation, the beauty of walking with the Lord. And children, it's important to listen to your parents and to obey them. So, what's the first piece of advice that the father gives his son in this passage? It seems to be don't join an armed gang, which is probably not the first thing that would have come into your mind. Although seriously, it is an issue for people not very far away. We've had at school just before summer holidays started, we had the armed police coming in to talk to the students about gangs, and many of the pupils in school will know someone in a gang. Maybe they will have some connection with a serious gang. We see it on the news all the time, don't we? We have to be aware of that. But what does the teacher here say? Well, he tells us that there's a temptation to join a gang and kill someone and take their money. Verse 10, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them." The father says, don't listen to sinful men. What are the methods that a gang might use? Well, they make it sound easy, don't they? Come along with us. Let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. And they say it will make you look tough. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. And they tell you you can get rewards. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. And most importantly, they'll say you'll have a place in the gang. Verse 14, cast lots with us. We'll share all the loot. It's very tempting for children and young people to go along with this. They're keen to be someone, aren't they? To be accepted, to be looked up to as strong and tough. There's a great desire to belong and to have the respect of others. It's great pressure from social media. It seems like the greatest commandment for children and young people is, thou shalt not be different. I mean, in school I see the pupils always complain about having to wear school uniform, but then on non-uniform days for charity, they come in wearing exactly the same things as each other. And they have the same bags. They love to be the same. As well as appealing to the desire to belong, these sinful men appeal to the young man's love of money. Again, it's nothing different now, is there? It doesn't end well, though. If you look at verse 16 onwards, their feet rush into evil, they are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. They end up losing everything. One of the videos that the armed policeman showed us was a really tragic case of a boy who joined a gang, and the gang members had said, yeah, we've got your back, we'll look after you. And he was stabbed and ended up basically paralyzed. He was in a hospital bed. His dad was there looking after him. No sign of any gang members having his back and looking after him. It ends badly, doesn't it? Well, we might not be thinking of joining an armed gang. So what's it got to do with us? And we might not have children, so they might have grown up. What are we supposed to get from this parental advice? What's the principle? Well, in verse 10, it basically says, don't listen to sinful men. Have you ever given in to peer pressure? Have you ever done something wrong or not done something right in order to be accepted by the crowd? Maybe you've failed to correct someone who's ridiculed Christianity or expressed some offensive opinion. Maybe you've laughed at an offensive joke because everyone else did. Or maybe you've watered down your convictions about moral issues to fit in with modern values. And what about the particular appeal to the love of money? Have you ever given in to peer pressure that tells you that money is the key to happiness and fulfillment? Have you ever cheated the tax man or neglected your family to make more money at work? Maybe worked more overtime than necessary to pay for a holiday or extension or car instead of spending time with your children? The power of the crowd is a really dangerous thing for any Christian. It's very easy to go with the flow, to go with what the world teaches. And ultimately, those that do pay a price. The Bible is realistic enough to teach that sometimes evil men prosper in this life, but in the end, the wages of sin is death. Worldly wisdom offers you immediate gratification, but no thought to the future. Godly wisdom knows that we've got a whole life to live, and after that, a judgment to face. So who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the wise advice of the parent Or are you going to listen to sinful men? Let's switch to a different voice. Verse 20. The voice of wisdom. It's actually wisdoms in the original, which seems to denote a perfection of wisdom. Here is his wisdom personified. It's given a human voice. We see that all the time in language, don't we? The camera loves her. The flowers were begging for water. Or the donut called out to me. Things are given a person. It's as if they're real things. Well, here wisdom is personified. It's given a voice. And actually, we know from last week that wisdom is Jesus. It becomes more obvious as you work through Proverbs, but this is Jesus. So wisdom's teaching is proclaimed aloud in the streets. Verse 20, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. This is not something that's hidden away. We saw recently when we were looking at Romans 1 that this verse, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You cannot fail to look at the world and see that there is a God, unless you're a fool. Well, who does wisdom talk to? Verse 22, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Simple, fools, and scoffers. Fools are those who despise wisdom and instruction, aren't they? We saw that last week. Mockers delight in mockery. Wouldn't you expect a holy God to denounce those who had turned their backs on him and laughed at him and his followers? But he continues to plead with them via wisdom. What love and mercy. I must ask, are you one of the simple or the mockers or the fools today? Is it you? Is God pleading with you today? Have you been turning your back on him and refusing to listen, maybe treating holy things as a joke? Well, don't carry on in such a foolish path. You need to turn. Look at what blessings are available. Verse 23, repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. The word for thoughts there is, it can be translated spirit. This is the gospel right here in Proverbs. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I'll make known to you my teachings. If we repent and turn to Jesus, then God will reveal the Son in our heart. He'll show you what the death on the cross of the Lord Jesus is all about. He'll make us wise to salvation. But there's a big warning here. God won't always strive with us and plead with us to turn to him. Those who continue to despise his invitations will finally be given up to impenitence and ruin. God has set a day when it will be too late. Verse 24, since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Ultimately, people are going to reap what they sow, aren't they? Even as God stretches out his hands with tender mercy, some people are going to refuse. Some are going to laugh. Some are going to show utter contempt. They hate knowledge. They don't choose to fear the Lord. Verse 32, the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And can you imagine them standing before God at the judgment. Maybe he'd show them this passage and show how many times he pleaded with them and shouted out to them and cried out to turn, and they just ignored it. But the passage ends with great news. Verse 33. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Well, let's just think about ways in which we can apply that passage before we finish. Four things briefly. First of all, listen to the right voice. Listen maybe to wise parental guidance or sound Christian teaching. Don't listen to the world and its false wisdom. Don't listen to sinful men. Don't listen to the crowd. Listen to the voice of wisdom calling out and repent at her rebuke. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I quoted last week, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Listen to the right voice. Listen to Jesus. So secondly, we should tremble at the justice of God. Our God is full of compassion, and he's not willing that any should perish, and we can see that from the urgency with which wisdom cries out in this passage. But God is also holy and just. He will not, and he cannot, let sin go unpunished. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I encourage you to read through this passage again and look at the terrible fate which awaits those who refuse wisdom, who refuse to fear the Lord, who refuse to repent. So listen to the right voice. Tremble at the justice of God. And thirdly, adore the goodness of God. If you're a Christian, what a loving and merciful and compassionate God you worship. Look at his patience in this passage. Look at the crying out to sinners. Look at the blessings he promises those who repent and turn to him. We deserve nothing but judgment. At any time in your life, he could have cut you off, and yet he's spared you till now. Maybe he's spared you long enough to hear the good news of salvation and turn to him. He sent his son to die in our place, to take all those years of sin and rebellion on himself. He poured out his spirit on us, and he teaches us from his word. It says, I will pour out my thoughts to you. I'll make known to you my teachings. God is a good God. So listen to the right voice and tremble at the justice of God. Adore the goodness of God. And finally, shout it out. This is so important. We can't keep it to ourselves, can we? Wisdom there cries out in the open, in the public square, in on top of the wall at the city gate. We've got a responsibility as believers to warn others of the consequences of turning their back on God and following the crowd. And we've got such good news to share with them. Forgiveness, new life, peace, wisdom, a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Forget about trying to be part of the gang or part of the in crowd, socially acceptable. Be someone who's known as someone who fears God, who urges others to do likewise, who's full of enthusiasm for sharing the gospel, and he works tirelessly to bring others to Jesus. Amen.